John and I, at our peril,
installed Windows 10.
Is there a way, without being able to see if we want to, that we can actually get Cortana to function or get rid of it?
Well, you can't get rid of it. You could hide it. What you could do is if you tab down to it and hit the applications key, you get the little menu, and there's a Cortana submenu. One of your choices says hide.
And have you had the same problem that we've had every time that we managed to set our default for Internet Explorer?
You may be asking a question I'm going to ask.
But I was going to say, when you go on Internet Explorer, every time we go on Internet Explorer, it keeps asking, are you sure you want this to be your default browser?
That you should be able to fix. If you go Control Panel, Default Programs,
it
still doesn't take.
It's
not holding it really.
It's a known problem.
With all the Windows 10 installations I've worked, I've been able to successfully get Internet Explorer as the default browser. But I've noticed an interesting behavior. If I go, just hit the Windows key, or anybody go, and do a search from the search field, say search for puppies and kittens, it'll say web search, hit it on that. Despite the fact that Internet Explorer is set as a default browser, it still brings up Edge. Now I'm wondering, is there a separate setting somewhere that pertains only to the Windows search feature?
Yeah.
So if I click a link in like a web page or in an email, it does bring up Internet Explorer as the default browser.
Yeah.
But still searching from the search window on Windows goes to Edge. Now, I'm not sure if that can be changed independently, or is that just hard-coded, that's what you get.
I know one person that, when they were trying to fix the Internet Explorer problem, they made the default Firefox, and they said this Firefox became the default. So you might want to try putting it as Firefox and see what happens.
See, try as I could do that. Yeah, that's a good experiment. See if it brings up Firefox after searching. Yeah.
I'm trying to, when you have a PDF file and you want to save it to a folder, when I hit File and Save As, it brings up, and this is Windows 10, it brings up, it says an AVI file. And I have the hardest time getting it into the tree structure where I can find my folders and save it as a PDF file. I don't know what AVI is.
I don't think that's Windows 10. I think that's Adobe. I have the same problem running Windows 7.
Shift tab and you'll eventually get to
two. Normally it should be two shift tabs, but
I have played around with that and have somehow found it, but sometimes the shift tab didn't bring it up, and then other times it has. I was just thinking you should be able to set the default for what it goes to in Adobe.
This is only in Adobe then?
Yes.
The only thing you could do is actually click on the actual folder that you want it on.
Yeah.
Shift tab twice, and I think you have to hit the space bar on documents here. And after you do that once, I got a feeling John's right. It's going to keep that, and you may just have to be able to hit enter next time it happens.
Yeah.
I'm wondering if anybody here has experience with OpenBook versus Kurzweil. I'm going to be using it both at school and at work. I'm at school part-time, and then I work part-time. So portability is important to me, but accuracy is very important. Specifically, I'm kind of interested in, ease of use, ease of saving things and speed.
I am a very recent person for Kurzweil, and I have used OpenBook all my life. I think both programs are quite good, and they both have their advantages and disadvantages. But if you want these three functions, I would recommend Kurzweil. If you think you may have a need to be able to fax things, I would recommend Kurzweil. I think Kurzweil does, and it is easier to manipulate in tables when you're reading documents. If you think the work that you're going to be doing at school may have a lot of tables and charts.
Oh, that's I'm an accountant.
I would lean toward Kurzweil.
Kurzweil has a lot of features, and some of them at first don't seem all that useful. If you're the one that needs a particular one that they have, they tend to work really well.
Oh, it has a virtual printer. That's the other thing I was going to say, which is really great sometimes when you need to see something.
Can I ask you what versions of Kurzweil and OpenBook you're comparing?
Kurzweil, the latest 14.7, and OpenBook 9, which is the latest for OpenBook.
The virtual printers, they both have. Now, you mentioned portability. Are you going to be using this in different locations?
Unless you're going to carry a flatbed scanner around with you.
Right.
Or one of the camera things.
Right. Well, see, that's what I was wondering is David Kingsbury said the camera from OpenBook. wonder if we have different definitions of portability.
Have you seen the camera?
No.
Okay. It folds up to about 9 inches and maybe about 9 by 3, and it probably weighs maybe 1.5 pounds.
Oh, so that really is portable.
Now, there's another camera built by a separate company that works with Kurzweil known as the iPal USB. That is, folds up a little bit bigger, but it's a lot flimsier. It's a lot more, the moving parts, meaning the arms and legs, are not quite as robust as the one that Flim Scientific sells. It's also a lot more expensive.
The other thing to note, the camera that's designed for OpenBook does not work with Kurzweil. So,
and vice versa.
The Hovercam, I know, works with Kurzweil. I don't know if it works with OpenBook.
I believe it does not work with OpenBook.
I would kind of also make sure that something is durable.
Now, do you have an iPhone?
Yes, I was going to say an iPhone with more portability. That might be the way to go. Use the iPhone with some, or an Android phone with something like KNFB reader, and then use that for just your school things, and then
get it into a file.
You said you do a lot of counting things, is that?
Yes.
Okay.
I was kind of wondering about using KNFB reader on the iPhone in school.
I think it'd be difficult for that type of stuff, to be honest with you.
And for counting, the formatting can be critical.
Kurzweil and OpenBook actually use the same engine behind the scenes. The difference being is what you're seeing in front, the interface for it, all the bells and whistles.
Kurzweil is pretty responsive, too. If there was a feature you wanted, they might not work.
I will tell you that with Kurzweil, if you need support, it's much more limited than it would be with Freeman Scientific. There literally is one person on duty. What you could do is, and I would do this, this is an easy thing you could do tonight when you get home. Go to freemanscientific.com, go to downloads, download OpenBook. You can't scan because you don't have a scanner, but if you have the document, you could open it up and see how it does table recognition from the document. If you install OpenBook without licensing it, it'll run for 40 minutes at a time.
The other thing to think about is basically the question, which one of these is handles the PDFs that you gotta get sent as an accountant on a regular basis, and the Excel, which one handles those better?
There's a third option, it's something called DocuScan, which if you're on a tighter budget, it's much cheaper. And you could actually demo that as well.
DocuScanPlus.com.
DocuScanPlus.com. That's made by a company called Ceratech, which for those of you familiar with System Access, same company. And that will work with the Hovercam, if you need a camera.
You have that, don't you, Tim?
I do. I like it. It works very well. I mean, I haven't done a lot of kind of table stuff with it, like what you'd be doing, but it does very well with PDFs. better than Adobe.
I actually use it myself. It's probably the fastest of the three that we talk about, but it doesn't have any of the bells and whistles, like stuff like faxing or calendars, anything like that. It's bare bones, but it is pretty fast.
But if you don't have an internet connection, it's not happening, correct?
Yeah. That's right. They're doing the recognition on their servers.
So, which is probably why it's fast,
you have to go to your client's location. That's
not for me.
Right.
If I would have
clients wanting. Okay. Yeah. Speaking of used to sales too, you might want to contact them if you want to just borrow a scanner. I'm not sure if they have any available, but you can look on their website because they have a lot of equipment from a loan program that you could borrow for like a month and see if it works with any of these programs.
They have a lot of good stuff, and it's a great service. I haven't used it myself, but it seems like I should be.
If anybody's familiar with using any of the EDECO or the DOT or any of the other Amazon, like the other one is a TAP, using it to do actions. And when I say actions, has anybody ever heard of what's called If This Then That? The service called If This Then That allows you to access one item, a device or something like that, and it performs a trigger, what they call a trigger, meaning that, say, someone sends an email or an alarm goes off, then that trigger could be programmed to do an action, like turn on your lights or something like that. Or I've been trying to get the Echo to actually work with that. As of now, Amazon says that the Echo could only be used as a trigger, meaning it could only trigger events. It could not be the action itself. So I'll give you an example. One of the things I was trying to do is set an alarm. Alexa set an alarm for 6 a.m. and then have that as the trigger to have the Echo say play WOR, play a radio station, something like that. The second part, the action, supposedly could not be done right now. Maybe never ever. for instance, one of the things you can do is you can set an alarm, say, Alexa, set an alarm for 7 p.m., and that'll be the trigger, and the action could be turn on the Philips Hue Wi-Fi enabled lights in the house. So that is possible, but the Echo or the Dot cannot be the second part of that, cannot be the action. Has anyone kind of worked a little bit with that and found any type of workaround, any way of making it kind of more usable? And the Echo can do an alarm and it can play a radio station, so right. Should you think you'd be able to program a sequence where you could do that. But
you need two Echoes. You could have one turn on the alarm, and when it goes off, you can't get it to say. Some people have done things where it gets the other one to talk, and then it does that.
When you say Echo A, you say set alarm for 6 a.m. and somehow you get it to play a file that says Alexa play to done. Yeah.
Does anybody on my MacBook I get a busy signal sometimes when I don't know why it occurs, just that it's busy and it just won't unbusy. It's sort of, I guess it's essentially freezing, which is what Windows laptops also have a tendency to do sometimes. Is there a command or anything to unfreeze busy, or does anybody have any idea why?
If it's stuck on there for an extended period of time, let's say 10 minutes or something, mm-hmm. then you can always end the task. Force quit is what it's called.
I think it's command option escape. Does that sound right?
I'm using the Outlook calendar, and I used to have a WAV file with my own voice on it saying, check Outlook calendar. And it would go off, and I'd hear it. But I always have to get out of bed, go over to the screen, and look at what's the job I'm supposed to do now. What I really liked is when the calendar goes off, if it would just read the subject line for that item, so I wouldn't have to walk over to sit down and read it. Is there some kind of script or something that might make that happen?
Probably if you put, would I recommend that, throw that out to the JAWS email list if you're not on it, and it's a good one to get on. There may be someone who wrote a script for themselves and they can help you out with that. That's the only way I could think of doing that.